Welcome back. We're glad that you're with us. This is Bible Talk, live call-in program coming to you right here from downtown Valdosta, Georgia. And we have with us this evening Jamie Hines from Pembroke Pines, Florida. Good evening, Jamie.
How are you, Jim?
I'm a little cooler than you are, being down near Miami and enjoying those nice warm breezes that you get in Pembroke Pines.
Yeah,
which is Hollywood.
Yeah, definitely. We're right between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. So
I know somebody in Hollywood.
Yeah, you know somebody in Hollywood. I'm just not famous.
Yeah, well, you're famous to some people. I mean, in that way. So, yeah. Now, Jamie, where do you preach? Tell us a little bit about where your congregation's at, what times and everything. We'll give you a little bit of shout out here.
Sure. We meet in Hollywood, Florida, 5828 Harding Street, and we can be found on the internet, hardingstreet.com. And we meet every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock for Bible study, 11 for worship, and then 6 o'clock in the evening again for worship. And then every Wednesday night at 7:30 for worship. You can find us, like I said, hardingstreet.com. Easiest.
Okay, James, good to have you with us. Appreciate you being on the program. We've been talking about prayer, and we could talk about that for a very long time. I know that when we were discussing the topic with you, it's kind of a broad subject to cover in so many ways, and yet it is such a vital subject in how we deal with prayer, whether we recognize it as an important part of our life or whether it is something that has been just a very integral part of our relationship with God. And how prayer is important. What sense do you get of the prayer life of people, and how that it's really under? It's like we're sort of in a spiritual kindergarten, that it's just underdone. We should be doing more.
Yeah, I think at least my impression from a lot of the discussions I've had with brothers and sisters in Christ is that prayer kind of relegated to a parachute strength. You know, you get yourself in a bad situation, and you call on God because you need help, desperate help.
Right.
And that's kind of the moment prayer is used. If it's not that, it's, you know, right before we're about to eat and we have company over, you know.
And if there's a standard prayer, you've got to do, now lay me down to sleep, and you got to do, you know, thank you for my food, and that's about it. But and not that those are not important, but prayer is something more than just blessing the food. It's something more than just saying, okay, take care of me this night. Prayer is a continual kind of a thing. And as you alluded to, that the Japanese have a proverb that once on shore, pray no more. It's good when we're in an emergency, but let's not get crazy. I don't want to have to talk to him every day and to carry on those kind of conversations that, maybe have to empty myself. And I think one of the challenges of prayer is that we have to really learn how to empty ourselves, and makes us a little bit more uncomfortable about spending as much time in prayer as we need to.
Prayer, I apologize, but prayer really is a vulnerability. Because when we pray, we're expressing a need. We're expressing that we need help, you know.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem is most of us don't want to look at ourselves and think, I need help.
Right.
We're very independent. As an American, you know, we're extremely independent in our mindset. And prayer is really, it's not about God. It's our focus on God. And I think that's part of the problem is that we think, well, when I go to a place, I can pray there, you know, like a church building or something to that effect.
Right.
But prayer really, it's vulnerable. It's an expression of humility that we really, we're in need. We need help.
Yeah, and I think that while there's not a basis of posture that is given in prayer, but I think that characteristically, even in parabolic sense, that the kneeling prayer is a humbling spirit, and that you really can't pray without the humility. And of course, Chase mentioned earlier about Luke 18, about the man who, as it says, that there were two men who went up to pray. One went to brag, and the other one, went to pray, and that prayer can't be bragging, and that's what's so tough, is that we have to empty ourselves and humble ourselves and say, hey, I can't do this. I'm not the center of my universe, and I've got to get help from God, and that's just tough, and I think that's true for all of us, that it's tough sometimes that we want to do things ourselves, and one of my favorite prayers, I guess, interestingly enough, is from the movie Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart. And it begins somewhat as he's sitting around the table with all of his sons and his daughter, and they're giving the blessing. And he basically says, you know, Lord, thank you for this bounty that we have, and thank you for this food that we have. And although I'm the one that planted it, and I'm the one that hoed it, and I'm the one that had to water it, and I'm, you know, kind of, he just goes right off the reservation with that, with, you know, what I've done. And prayer is not about what I've done, it's what God has done. Such a vital part of our humble character to trust in God, and to know how to pray to Him in so many ways. A lot of prayers in the Bible. I mean, we could spend, again, a lot of time, and as we said earlier, we could talk about Jesus' prayers.
Talking about prayer, one of the best resources in the Bible is the book of Psalms.
Yes.
Even though the Psalms, we identify a lot of that with singing and songs, Psalms really is just filled with prayer after prayer, whether it's David, you know, praying for help because he's in trouble, or just an expression of great joy, you know, because God has helped him or saved him. He is my shepherd.
Right.
I mean, really, those are the best resources for prayer that you're going to find anywhere.
Well, and learning how to pray. I mean, we have the instructions of Jesus, of course, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke 18, and other places. But, you know, you're so right that people learning how to pray, if you read the book of Psalms, every 150 of those, you know, you are giving praise to God. You're asking blessings. You're asking protection. You're asking for physical provisions. You're asking for wisdom. I mean, it's a great book on prayer. And I think what somebody said one time, you know, the little New Testaments that we used to find, and of course, it had the New Testament in it, but it always had the Psalms and the Proverbs. And ask somebody, you know, sometime, why did they do that? Why do we have Bibles that have these together? And the answer was pretty much given is that, well, that was their song book and their prayer book. That when they had, you know, the New Testament and they wanted to, you know, talk about prayer or have a prayer, they had the Psalms back there, and they had all that wisdom literature. So it's a vital part. What are some prayers that come to mind that you can bring to the forefront that help us understand a lot of different elements of prayer? I mean, again, it's such a wide subject.
Yeah, well, I'll use an illustration. I know I was in Virginia. We had discussions about, you know, when is it inappropriate to pray.
Right.
And which I thought was pretty interesting at first because strange question.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think there is any moment that you can say is inappropriate for prayer to be involved, whether it's about to take off on a flight on an airplane, surgery, you know, getting ready to go on our own trip, starting, you know, a radio program like, you know, tonight. The bottom line is there's no bad time for prayer. Prayer is, it's a constant lifeline to God in our expression to Him. You know, reference has already been made to Luke 18 with one man with an attitude of, here I am and I'm great, and then the other guy won't even look at, lift his eyes to heaven, I think is the expression.
That's right.
Jesus, as you've already mentioned, you know, pray through the night. I don't know. I mean, the times that I've prayed for a long time, but not through the night, would be, you know, desperation sort of thing.
Right.
You think of how succinct Jesus was. You know, in Luke 11, when they ask him to teach us how to pray, it's not very long. And I think that's a good example of someone showing us that length doesn't make the prayer better. It has a lot to do with the intensity. I think in Ephesians 3, toward the end of that chapter, Paul makes just grand expressions of what's going on in his life and joy for the church. And that's another good place to look for prayer as far as, you know, what can we pray for? We can pray for anything and everything.
And as many opportunities as we have, and again, I think that we have sort of, I'm not sure the word is right or not, but we have mysticized, never mind, we've done something with prayer. One of those, the word I've actually done the same thing with, but we made it to be like, okay, if I got a prayer, that means I got to stop, and I got to, you know, bow down, and I got to close my eyes and fold my hands, and yes, that's a way, you know, when Jesus was in the garden, you know, he went over there and he fell down and did all those things. But, you know, you can pray driving a car. preferably with your eyes open, you know, you see a beautiful sunset. And you could just, you know, go down the road and say, Lord, you know, thank you for the beauty of this day, and thank you because of your creation. I mean, it doesn't make prayer just to be a casual thing, but it is a devotion that, as you just said, is that it is something that's a natural response that we want to say, well, you know, thank you for that, and maybe when we're about to make a decision, whether at work and, you know, how things are going to work out, is that we offer a prayer. It doesn't have to be a long, you know, forever kind of a prayer. It's not about the words, again, it is about the intensity of the heart. You know, you recommended a book to me years ago by Ian Bounds on prayer. Yeah. And appreciated that book a whole lot because he talks about the sense that it has to be a part of devotion. Yeah. And devotion doesn't have to be a matter of, you know, 30 minutes. And, you know, no. As you said, we've...
No, but when you look in the framework of your life, your whole life should be a devotion to the Lord, and therefore prayer being a part of that can happen any time. And that's your point. It can happen any time.
Right. And it needs to happen any time, too. I mean, who hasn't gone through life a little while and thought, man, I need some prayer. You know, I gotta get some help on this matter. Real quick, if you have a question or comment talking about prayer, the number to call in, 229-259-9210. We have Jamie Hines from down in South Florida. That's easier to say than Pembroke Pines. But it's good to have Jamie. We're talking about prayer and how that, you know, it's just a natural thing. Again, it's a natural conversation, and we do it in so many ways, and we spend time in talking to God because we've studied His Word. And I think, again, as we said earlier, you can't really pray well if you don't read well or study well. If you don't know the book, you're going to have a hard time knowing what to pray for.
Yeah, and that's a great point to make. I was thinking when you said that, Jonah, when he was in absolute dire straits, his prayer was almost exactly a combination of psalms. I mean, just phrases here and phrases there. So I think that's exactly right. You expressing yourself to God using the Bible helps you understand, it's not word order, it's not how to say a certain thing, it's just if your mind is full of the Word of God, His thoughts and His ways, then I think it makes it a lot easier than trying to express ourselves.
Well, somebody defined prayer by pleading the promises of God.
That's a wonderful message.
Yeah, it's great because it's so definitive because, number one, I mean, you can pray for something that God hadn't promised, but He's not going to give it to you. The only thing that we really should be praying is what God has promised. And, you know, we talk about Elijah and how the power of prayer is exemplified by James when, you know, he talks about what Elijah did. In James chapter 5, Elijah was a man of nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The context is, you know, the power of prayer. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. If you're cheerful, let him sing psalms. If you're sick, let him call for the elders of the church and pray over them, anointing them in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The thing that happens in prayer, and the reason that Elijah prayed that prayer was not that he thought, hey, I think this will be fine, let's just not have it to be raining for a while. That was a promise God made in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 when he told the children of Israel, if you obey me, I'll bless you. But if you disobey me, I will curse you. And as a matter of fact, I will make the land like bronze, which means I will withhold the rain. And so basically what Elijah did is that he sort of, you know, he didn't sort of, but he went to the Lord and he said, you've promised that if we were disobedient, you'd withhold the rain. And during his time, they were living during Ahab and Jezebel, and they were so disobedient. And so he simply pled the promises of God. But the thing is, he knew the promises, and he knew that what God had promised, and so when he prayed it, God brought it to pass. And when we pray, that's all we're doing. And we can feel confident that, do you feel, Jamie, that sometimes the hindrance is prayers because, and I've had people say this to me, is that, you know, I just don't see it in my life. I just don't see the answer. I pray to God, and well, you know, it didn't go this way, it went that way. I don't see the answer. So what good does prayer do? I mean, you've heard
Yes, I've heard that. I've talked to different people about that. And one of my first responses is from James 4, you ask with the wrong motive.
Right.
You know, when he's talking about all the problems they have, that's it. It's they're asking, but they're asking with the wrong motive, which I think in that context indicates a lot of selfishness. Yes. And not even spiritual focus at all. It's very worldly in that context. But I think a lot of times you're right. People quit on prayer because they say, look, maybe they don't say this in their own mind, but God's like Santa Claus, and I have a list of things that I want, and he didn't give them to me, so I'm not going to ask anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. That absolutely shows wrong motive all the way.
Right. Trust, what involvement is trust then in prayer?
Complete. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, that wasn't a hard question.
I appreciate the softball there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to give you anything too deep and too heavy, but yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. And that's the problem with prayer, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got to trust in God.
But again, that's the vulnerability part, you know? Yeah. We'd rather, if we fall down, I could pick myself up. Well, okay, that's fine, but what if you're an invalid? You're a person who can't live, you can't walk. I mean, when you fall down, then what? Well, you call for help.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the problem is spiritually we need to see ourselves in help rather than need and need God's help all the time. How do we become this arrogant Christian that, you know, like in Luke 18, you got this man, this Pharisee who's proud of himself, you know, and maybe that's what the problem is. We become full of ourselves.
And it could be societal. I don't want to get too philosophical here, and we won't go down that road either. But, you know, I think that sometimes because we live in a prosperity, because we live in a world that, you know, we pretty good got it easy. I mean, things come to us easy. We don't have needs like so many people in the world do. And so often our needs are being met so well that we don't really think that we have need of God. Because, you know, we're not really hungry. This is appropriate time to say that after Thanksgiving. We're not really living in abject poverty. It's not like we wonder where things are going to be the next day. And so sometimes the warning that God gave the children of Israel is that, okay, I'm going to give you this land, and you're going to go into a land that's got all these things that you didn't dig the wells, and you didn't grow the trees, and you didn't build the cities. But let me tell you something, you better not forget me. And I think that that's one of the challenges of prayers, that we don't really trust God because we don't need to trust God because we got it all taken care of ourselves, and so we don't pray. It's a lack of dependence. We don't really have to depend upon Him because we got Walmart.
Yeah, we've got Walmart. We've got money in the bank. You know, how many of us probably, you know, start every day looking at the bank account, or at least one point in the day, we will look at our bank account online to make sure things are okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, why aren't we communicating with God who really can help? But you're right, it's because there's this prosperity everywhere. Things are easy. The passage I was thinking of is James 4:6, that God opposes the proud, He gives grace to the humble.
Right.
That's, I think the attitude, again, as a Christian, we need to have is humility. Everything we have, really, yes, the Jimmy Stewart, you know, actor portrayal there of, you know, I did this and I did that, but where did he get the seed? Where did he get the plow? I mean, okay, maybe he bought it, but ultimately, when you go back further and further into this, there is an ability that is given to him. Ultimately, where does it come from? It all has to come from God. Every good thing comes from him.
Well, obviously, he made the seed grow in the dirt, and that's what made it all possible. But, you know, even in that context of James 4, as you go on, and right after he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, therefore, submit to God. And that's the tough part. And then he talks, I think, in as much about prayer in that process, in verse 8, to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you.
Yeah.
But then there's things that we do, cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, lament, mourn, and weep, and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up. And that's the thing about prayer, is that it humbles us, and yet when we learn to be humble, when we learn to fall on our knees, then God will lift us up, because, you know, He really does work. I think one day we're going to talk about providence, but He does work in our life, and I think that that's where we've sort of forgotten that. Well, He doesn't do that anymore. I mean, come on. I mean, He did that back then, and, you know, He made the world change in the flood, and He did miracles and those kind of things, but, you know, He doesn't work in my life today. Well, who told us that? That's not true. I mean,
I don't believe it's true. I think providence is something, obviously right now we don't see exactly, but we can look back in our lives. All of us can look back in our lives. I see how this. Exactly. Yeah, no pun intended.
Not intended, not a bit. I said that and thought, oh boy, he's going to jump on that one. No,
I
it is looking back.
Yeah. I've thought about doing a commentary series called Hindsight.
Yeah, Hindsight. Anyway. Yeah, you should. Yes. But it is looking back because Providence is what we've seen.
Yes. Yeah, and it's not, you know, you think of the book of Esther. There is no miracle that's performed in that book.
Right.
And yet, in all of it, you can see how in God's providence, his care, he saves his people. And how he did it was through common people and not so common people. But same thing's happening today. We may not see it immediately, but we can look back throughout our lives, you know, and say, yes, I see how this happened and this bad thing actually put me in this direction, which God, according to Romans 8:28, causes all things to work together. So, you know, that's providence. Is that not providence?
Right. Well, you know, we have to trust God as we go to him and we say, we need your direction, we need your blessing, and then we need to leave it with him. We need to leave it alone. We need to leave it all. We need to leave it with him and then go on about our life and say, okay, I've given it to you, the Lord. To me, one of the great things about prayer is that very simple idea that, well, I can take it to the Lord and I can leave it with him and it's done. I mean, we're finished because he's going to take care of whatever has to happen, whether it's what I exactly want or whether I was wishing. And, of course, we all know the truth of it is that when God gives us what we need, it's better than what we ask for. And that's always the trust of being able to say, okay, you really do know best. But the thing is, we've got to leave it with him. We've got to let him have it.
Now, again, that's a hard thing to do. I mean, I remember growing up, you know, I break a toy, give it to my mom and dad, they fix it. I'm right there hovering over them, you know, involved in all that. And my kids have done that with me, so I think that's part of it is the way I've heard it is let go and let God.
Good phrase.
Let him do what you're asking him to do.
I remember a quote from G.K. Chesterton that was defining what despotism is, and it's loving God so much and trusting him so little. You know, I love you, Lord. I don't trust you, but, you know, and I use that a lot because that's such a common attitude that we have, is that I love the Lord with all of my heart, but I just don't know whether he can do this thing or not. And it's like, no, prayer means we got to let it go, let it go. Are we singing that song again? Wow. Here we go again. But we've got to just let the Lord take care of it. That's the essence of prayer. We pray it, we let it go, and let God do it.
Just and who better to leave it to?
Yeah.
I mean, who better to absolutely just put every care that you have on than the person who created all that there is? You know, the person so powerful that he destroyed the world, bar, you know, Noah and his family, who recreated it, who can do all these things, but we can't trust them to you know, help us get through some kind of financial strain or what have you.
Well, I mean, he raises the dead. You know, we talked in our class yesterday how that Jesus raised the widow of Nain's son, I mean, and of course other people, Lazarus included, and then later Dorcas, Peter did. But, you know, if he can raise the dead, why can't he answer my prayers? I mean, really? How do we compare the majestic God who has made this world, that why can't he handle that thing? Prayer's just trusting in him and letting him take care of the business. And it's a lot of faith, and a lot of it has to do with the kind of life we live.
Do you think that has to do anything with human pride?
Do you think
we tend to look at things and say, well, because this isn't going my way, or the ball's not in my court anymore, and there's nothing I can do about it, well, that's just that.
Yeah. Well, as long as God is doing things my way, I think it's going to be okay. You know,
that's exactly the attitude. Yeah. It goes my way.
Right.
So, you know, and when we grow up, I mean, most of us, I think, you know, we ask our parents for things.
Yeah.
When for some of us, there are exceptions. But, you know, you ask mom and dad for something, they may say no. Why? Because they know better than you, you know. So it may be sometimes, and I think this is part of what we were kind of talking about a little bit a few minutes ago. Sometimes God says no. It's not that God, well, he didn't answer my prayer. Well, no, maybe he did. If you look back in life, you can say, oh, there he said no. That's an answer to prayer. Yes, no, you know, wait.
Yeah, that's always an answer.
There is always an answer, exactly. And like you're saying, it's a matter of, do we trust God? I mean, ultimately, what are we wanting? Is it success here in life?
Right.
Or success eternally? And you know, there is no promise, and this is part of the culture we live in, and the American psyche, that everything, if God really loves me, things are going to be great here. You know, I'm not going to have any car trouble, no problems with my bank, mortgage, whatever.
Right.
That's a lie. That's
right.
A lie.
All worldly treasures.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the uselessness of it. But see, that again goes back to the idea about life itself. And we go back to the text that we had in James chapter 4. And, you know, James is such a practical book. It's just the everyday kind of living thing. But in the latter part of the fourth chapter, he went on to say that, okay, let's talk about, you know, resisting, God resisting the proud, about giving grace to the humble, submitting to the Lord, drawing near, and humbling ourselves. He goes on to say that, you know, let me tell you what life's all about. It's not about what you're wanting, and you know, people say that verse 13, today or tomorrow we're going to go to such a city and do this, we're going to do that, and you don't know what your life is going to be. It's a vapor that appears for a little while. In verse 15, I think the essence of prayer is this: instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That's a state of mind. That's a mind that is a state of knowing that what God wants is, and what God wills is what we have to have. And this whole idea about prayer is the fact that if the Lord wills. I mean, and that's what it has to be. And there's where trust comes in. And there's where confidence comes in. And we're not going to have the time to talk about it, but that's where we learn from answered prayer. You know, I go back to David when he was standing before Goliath, and he was going to kill this 9-foot behemoth. The reason he did so is because he had history with God. And the history that he had with God was that, look, you're nothing. I mean, God has protected me and God has taken care of me, providence of God. God has answered my prayers. He has delivered me from the lion. I mean, I have taken lambs out of the mouth of the bear, and when he roared against me, I grabbed him by his beard and smacked him. You see, that's history. And the reason that we can say in our life is that thy will be done is because we have history with God. And we look back, as you said earlier, about our providence with God. We look back on our life and we say, well, you know, he answered that and he took care of that, so I just need to let him have it. You know, let him take care of it, because he's a lot smarter, a lot wiser than I am. And so it has to be that kind of trust. Jamie, we got to go off here a little while. Give me about a minute. Finish us up with some thoughts here. About a minute. What you got to say about prayer?
Well, prayer is to be constant. Romans 12:12. We're to be constant in prayer. One illustration I've heard about, like 1 Thessalonians 5, where you know, we're told to pray without ceasing. It's like eating. We eat without dying. That's really the point. So prayer is a lifeline, and it's there all the time. And communication, like you say, it's a daily process, and it's focusing on God. It's that attitude of I need Him in everything, no matter what it is. There's nothing too small for God to be involved in. Nothing. Yeah.
And that's the key, is that, I mean, what can he not handle? What is it that he cannot deal with in my life? And the very essence of prayer and the beauty to me of prayer is the fact that there is nothing that I can ask of God that he cannot answer.
He has domain over everything.
He's in charge. He's at large.
He's a sovereign king. Exactly.
Yeah, and he can do it. So, Jamie, it's good to have you with us. Good to hear your voice, and appreciate you being part of our program. And
we
look forward to having you back with us again. Tell us again about where you preach at, and real quick.
Okay. Again, we're in Hollywood, Florida, just between Fort Lauderdale and Miami, and 5828 Harding Street is the location of the building. You can find us online at hardingstreet.com. Or HardingStreetChurch.com.
Right.
The same domain. So.
All right, brother. Well, it's good to have you with us. Regards to the family, and we appreciate you being on the program this evening.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Thank you again for listening to Bible Talk, again brought to you by the North Valdosta Church of Christ. We're located at 4313 North Valdosta Road, 1 mile east of I-75, exit 22. And you can visit our website at www.northvaldostacoc.com. Bible Talk comes to you each Monday evening, 6 p.m. here on 92.1 FM and talk921.com. As we close, we say that if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, and in all things. God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.